Welcome to the Countdown to Canada podcast by Arrive, a podcast for newcomers by newcomers. We give you the information, resources, and tips you need to build a successful life here. Whether you're exploring your immigration options, looking for your first job, starting your studies as an international student, or adapting to life in Canada, this podcast will set you up for a smooth journey. Now let's get you home. Hi, everyone. I'm your host, Clem Levavalier. One thing we can all agree on is that moving to a new country isn't easy. Not only are you leaving your old life and your loved ones behind, but you also need to adapt to your new environment. In previous episodes, we've covered many of the things newcomers should be doing in order to prepare for their move to Canada and settle into their new life here, including finding a job, renting a home, and more. And you can revisit those episodes, or you can download our free pre-arrival checklist and guide on preparing for your move to Canada, as well as our career and accommodation guides for newcomers. And you can find the links to all of those resources in the episode description. Now, if you're moving to Canada with your children, then you also need to figure out how to prepare them for this transition, in addition to everything else. So, in today's episode, we're going to focus on everything you should keep in mind while moving to Canada with your kids. Before we get started, a little background about me. My husband and I moved to Canada from France over a decade ago. We chose to settle in Toronto because it seemed like the perfect place to start a family, and it really has been for us. I have three kids between the ages of 4 and 9, and even though my children were born here in Canada, I know how challenging it can be to maintain that cultural balance while you're bringing your kids up in a different country. With me in the studio today is Thomas Lepelletier, who moved to Canada with his family in August 2022. Hi, Thomas. How are you today?
Hi, Clem. I'm good. Thanks for inviting me to co-host this podcast with you.
Well, we're very happy to have you on board, Thomas. You have two daughters and a son, right?
Yes, they are 11, 9, and 7 years old.
And before coming to Canada, you and your family lived in France.
Exactly. My wife got an opportunity to work on a huge project here in Toronto, so that's what brought us here. Both of us have work permits. I typically work from home so I can take care of the kids once they're back from school.
That's great. How easy or hard would you say that it's been for your children to adapt to life in Canada?
I think the first few months were challenging for them. As children, it's not easy to adapt to a new country, new school, and make new friends at the same time. But we had been mentally preparing them for the move for many months in advance, so it wasn't a complete surprise for them.
Well, that's good foresight. I know it can take a while for kids to adjust when they're leaving behind their friends and their extended family. Transitioning to a new school can be especially tough. And that actually brings me to the first topic I want to talk about today, the types of schools in Canada. The first and most popular type of schools are public schools. And if you're a permanent resident or a citizen of Canada, your children can attend a public school in your area for free. The same is true for children of work permit holders and for most, but not all, study permit holders. Public schooling is available in both English and French. And there are also French immersion schools, which are public schools where children conduct at least half of their studies in French. You might also find Catholic schools in Canada, where in addition to the regular curriculum, children also learn Catholic religious studies. And in Ontario, Alberta, and Saskatchewan, as well as the three territories, Catholic schools may be publicly funded. But in all other parts of Canada, Catholic schools are private schools that charge tuition. The admission criteria are determined by the local Catholic school board. So in some cases, the child must have at least one Catholic parent or grandparent or must have received some Catholic sacraments. Thomas, what type of school did you register your kids in?
We enrolled our kids into a Catholic public school here in Ontario. And like you mentioned, Catholic schools are public schools in Ontario. There's no tuition fee. Since our children were already fluent in French, since we come from France, we decided to register them in an English Catholic school so they could also master English. That was a bit of a challenge initially because they did not understand the language. But the Toronto Catholic School Board has a lot of amazing school resources and teachers to help newcomer children get up to speed with English. Plus, some teachers at the school did speak French, so it wasn't very hard for them to communicate with our children. But if your children speak a different mother tongue, you might want to start teaching them some English before you arrive. In Canada, public school and Catholic public school are governed by school boards, and your children can only register at a public school in the area you live in. So, as soon as we arrived, we contacted the local Catholic school board in the area we were decided to live in and asked about the registration process. But if possible, I'd recommend contacting the school board before you arrive.
The vast majority of children in Canada attend public schools. However, I do want to mention that there are other options. You've got private or independent schools. These schools charge tuition, and they can be pretty expensive, with tuition fees that can range between $9,000 to $40,000 per year for day students, and even as high as $90,000 for boarding students. Some private schools offer scholarships to students with a financial need or to those who display special academic, artistic, or athletic abilities. Some parents also choose to homeschool their children in Canada, and each province and territory has its own regulations around homeschooling. So if you choose this option for your kids, you'll still have to meet certain curriculum and learning outcome requirements, and you may need to send progress reports to the Ministry of Education. Now, let's talk about enrolling your children in school. Thomas, I'm sure this would have been a priority for you when you arrived in Canada.
Oh, yes. Many of our plans revolved around our kids' schooling. For instance, we wanted to live in a good school district so our children could attend a good public Catholic school. We looked at the school ranking published by the Fraser Institute to make sure the neighborhoods where we were considering had good schools. We also planned on our arrival in August, so our children were able to start school right away in September without any gap in their studies.
Yeah, that's a good point. The school year in Canada typically runs from September to June, and there are short breaks during winter and spring. All children aged between 5 or 6 in some provinces and 18 are legally required to attend school. So if you arrive in the middle of the school year, you must still register your kids for school, but your child may have to miss part of a grade or repeat the curriculum if they'd already covered it in their home country. In most provinces, your child's grade level is determined by their age by December 31st of the school year. And your child can start attending kindergarten at the age of 5. However, in most provinces, attendance is not legally mandatory until grade 1. And some provinces, like Ontario, also offer pre-kindergarten or junior kindergarten for 4-year-olds. Thomas, can you run our listeners through the registration process for public schools?
Sure. I can talk about the enrollment process in Ontario, but if you're moving into a different province, the process might be different. Before you move, make sure you do your research about the different public or Catholic school boards and the school you're interested in. You'll need to find a place to live within the catchment area of your chosen school, or locate the corresponding school in the area you're going to live in. And once you've done that, contact the school board and they'll tell you about the next steps and the documents you'll need to bring with you. For instance, we were asked to provide proof our child is in the form of a birth certificate or passport, proof our legal status in Canada, which was our work permit, proof of our kid's baptism since we chose a Catholic school, and proof of our address. This can be your rental lease, a utility bill, and a bank statement with your name and address on it.
Yeah, I want to state there are some newcomers who opt for temporary accommodation in the beginning, and they may not have signed a lease yet, even though you plan to live in that neighborhood permanently. And it can sometimes take a month for your first bank statement to arrive. But there are some workarounds to this to provide that supporting document for your children's registration. For example, some banks like RBC may be able to give you a letter on bank letterhead verifying your address. And that can be used for your children's registration. You can use the link in the description to book an appointment with an RBC newcomer advisor to start that process.
That's a good tip. Besides these documents, we also had to submit our kids' past academic records, medical history, and immunization records. Immunization or vaccination records are really important in Canada, so make sure you get this from your family doctor before you leave your home country. Mm-hmm. The school board will then review your documents and assess which grade your child should be placed in. They'll help you register with the school closest to you. Many school boards also have a newcomer welcome center where they assess whether your child needs extra language support, English or French, or if they might need additional classes in a particular subject. For instance, our children received extra English language classes, which really helped them do better in school.
Yes, the language classes that school boards offer for newcomer children can help with this challenge. But as parents, you may also want to help your kids master English or French at home, too.
Yes, indeed. Another challenge might be getting your kids to keep speaking their mother tongue even as they learn and speak English at school.
Mm-hmm.
In our case, we noticed that our children were losing touch with French, so we make an active effort to speak to them in French at home.
Actually, some school districts also offer international language classes for children, including Punjabi, Urdu, Ukrainian, Spanish, and more. So if you want your child to formally learn or practice your native language, these after-school classes can be an excellent resource. So check the school board's website for more information on this. Some schools also have settlement workers to help children coming from vastly different cultures adapt to their new classroom. For instance, some children may have attended schools that weren't diverse. So having children from different backgrounds, religions, genders, or gender identities might take some getting used to for them. And then there may also be local organizations or services that offer homework assistance or tutoring for free for newcomer children who need help with school. The Toronto Public Library, for instance, offers a free homework and tutoring program for school students across all grade levels.
Oh, the Toronto Public Library is an incredible resource for newcomers with children. Not only does the library have a huge collection of books at all reading levels, it also has movies, ebooks, workshops, and board games for children. As a newcomer, Canada can feel like an expensive place to raise kids, and having resources like the library at your disposal can bring some relief.
Yes, my kids love the library too. Did you know that you can borrow both kids and adult books in lots of different languages, not just English? So besides the things you've already mentioned, Thomas, what else did you do to help your children adapt to their new school environment?
Actually, we arranged a tour of the school so our children would know where the classroom and lockers and bathroom were. We also met some of the new teachers so they wouldn't feel like an outsider on day one. You were talking, Clem, about diversity in the classroom earlier, and this is something we wanted to mentally prepare our kids for. So we encourage them to come to us with any questions they had rather than make assumptions. We had open conversations about cultural differences, and as parents, we made sure our own behavior modeled what we wanted our children to learn.
That's really great, Duma. Canada's multiculturalism is one of the great things about living here. And children learn by watching and listening, and whether that's how their parents react or what their friends say. So I feel that as parents, it's our responsibility to make sure that they grow up to be respectful of everyone and everyone else's culture. So I'm really glad that you had these conversations early on.
Yes, I agree.
So what else? Did you find ways to help your children make new friends?
Oh, I think kids in general tend to make friends easily. They quickly made new friends at school. We also encourage them to explore after-school activities like Lego and yoga, because that's a great way to not just build new skills or hobbies, but also to find like-minded friends.
Yeah, and in Canada, there's a lot of emphasis on extracurriculars like sports, drama, robotics. And being part of these extracurricular clubs at school can give your kids an advantage when it's time to apply for university or college later on.
Yes, absolutely. I strongly believe that school shouldn't just be about academics and that extracurricular activities are essential for kids' overall development. Our kids actively participate in several activities ranging from dancing to swimming to orchestra. Even after they get back from school, their calendars are pretty full. Although I do want to point out that compared to my home country, France, extracurricular activities in Canada can be quite expensive.
Yes, that's unfortunately true. I'd encourage parents to find a good balance because between your budget, your availability to take your children to these activities, it can get complicated to manage, especially if you have multiple children. Anyway, now I want to talk about another crucial thing that many newcomer parents need to plan for, childcare.
Hmm.
This is especially important if both parents plan to work in Canada.
Or if, unlike me, they don't have a flexible work schedule that allows them to work from home.
Yes. If you have young children, you'll need to arrange childcare for when you aren't home. And in many cases, even if you are working from home, because looking after young kids and working at the same time is not easy. Even before you move to Canada, you should research the types of childcare services that are available in Canada and how much they cost in your future city. Generally, services like full-day childcare and part-day childcare options, including nurseries and preschools, they're licensed and they're monitored by the provincial government. But there are also unregulated options available, such as care provided in your home by nannies or babysitters, or caregivers who watch kids in their own homes. And these family childcare providers don't need a license to operate, and they aren't monitored by the government. The cost of childcare also varies based on how old your child is. Infant care, which is for kids aged 0 to 18 months, is usually the most expensive, and the cost is lower for toddlers and then lower again for preschool-aged children.
And speaking of cost, childcare can be quite expensive depending on which city in province you're in.
That's definitely true. However, in the past couple years, the federal government has rolled out a $10 a day childcare plan, under which several provinces and territories signed agreements with licensed childcare providers to bring the average cost per care per child down to $10 a day by 2026. They'll be doing this in a phased manner, so the cost is already now much lower than it was last year. But not all daycares fall under this plan, so if you're researching childcare centers near you, don't forget to ask them if they're enrolled in this plan.
Yes, and also most childcare centers have a long waiting list, so much so that many parents sign up for daycare before the child is even born.
Yes.
So try to get on one or several waiting lists as soon as you know where you plan to live. We were exploring daycare options when we first arrived, but there were very few options available. School ends at 3 p.m., but for most people, the work day lasts till 5 p.m., so I expect newcomers' parents might find it difficult to balance work with watching the kids at home until they can make other arrangements. Like schools, many daycare centers take a fresh batch of children in September, so you may have to wait a few months if you're arriving at a different time of the year. There may also be a fee to get on the wait list, depending on the province.
Yeah, that's right. Most municipalities offer childcare subsidies to families whose net income is below a certain threshold, but you usually only qualify for this once you've filed taxes in Canada, which is the year after you arrive. And also, not all childcare centers accept these subsidies. So do factor all of this in while you're doing your research. Make sure that childcare costs are listed in your budget so that you have a good idea of what your expenses will be. You may also want to visit a few centers to see which one seems the best managed and child-friendly. For instance, when we were enrolling our kids in daycare, we wanted to make sure that they would get enough supervision. We also asked about the staff-to-children ratio, and convenience was essential too. So the distance from our home to the child care center and the center's hours of operation were really important. You may also want to ask about the languages that the staff there speaks, especially if you have young kids who aren't yet fluent in English or French. And some centers also provide special meals for children with food allergies or who don't eat certain types of food for religious reasons. So that might also be worth asking about. Now, another thing I want to talk about that's a top priority for most newcomers is finding a doctor for their children. Before you do this, you'll need to sign up for provincial healthcare and get your health cards. Healthcare in Canada is publicly funded, so if you're a permanent resident, a citizen, or a work permit holder, you and your family will be covered under your provincial healthcare plan. Some provinces do have a waiting period before newcomers are eligible for health insurance, so do your research and make sure you apply as soon as you're eligible. And once you have your health cards, you'll need to find a family doctor or a general practitioner. And if you need a pediatrician for your kids, you'll likely need a referral from your family doctor, or if you don't have one, you can get a referral from a walk-in clinic.
Yes, and although there's a shortage of healthcare professionals in Canada, we were lucky to find a great family doctor quickly. That was a priority for us because children need yearly checkups and vaccinations. And we chose to go with a family doctor rather than a pediatrician, because a family doctor can take care of your entire family, not just your children.
That's a very good point, Thomas. Before we end this episode, there's one more topic I want to cover. It's no secret that raising children is expensive, and even more so in a country with a high cost of living like Canada. But the federal government does offer financial assistance to families with kids in the form of the Canada Child Benefit, or CCB. Do you want to explain to our listeners what the Canada Child Benefit is?
Absolutely. CCB is a tax-free monthly payment that eligible families with children under the age of 18 can get from the government. You might qualify for CCB if you or your spouse is a Canadian permanent resident, citizen, or temporary resident who has lived in Canada for at least 18 months, and if you are a tax resident of Canada. Since we haven't lived in Canada for 18 months yet, we aren't eligible to receive CCB yet. But the amount you can get under the Canada Child Benefit depends on your family income, the number of children you will have, and their ages, and also your marital status.
Yes, you do need to apply for CCB, though. If you're new permanent residents, then you can apply for this benefit as soon as you arrive in Canada, and the parent who will be the primary caregiver should be the one to fill out the application. The amount you can receive is not insignificant, especially if you're still looking for your first job in Canada. Some families get as much as $7,400 per child per year. If you're a temporary resident, then you will need to wait 18 months before you're eligible. Some provinces also offer additional financial support to families with children, so make sure you find out about whether you're eligible for the benefits offered by your province and learn about the application process for those. Thomas, thank you so much for being here today. It was really lovely chatting with you. We've covered a lot of ground, and I hope that our listeners feel more confident about moving to Canada with their children. Thank you for joining us today. If you have more questions about preparing for your move to Canada, I highly recommend that you download the resources we've linked out to in our episode description. Listen to our other episodes as well. Thank you so much for listening to the Countdown to Canada podcast by Araya. For other newcomer resources to help with your career, life, and finances in Canada, check out our website, arrivein.com, and subscribe to our podcast. We hope to see you back for the next episode.